Now we're going to be in the book of John this evening, John chapter 2, and I just want to say it's a lot of pressure trying to follow Brother Godfrey, okay? And I don't have any monkey stories. I do have a few camel horse stories, but no monkey stories this evening. But it is wonderful because I love to hear his stories. Every story has one point, and that is, God will get you through and he'll use you if you'll let him. And a lot of young people today are afraid of the mission field, and they really shouldn't be, because God is already there. And he not only equips you, but he gives you a lot of joy and enjoyable circumstances. I know it's hard to explain, but it is a joy in serving Jesus. And that's part of what I want to talk about tonight, is the satisfaction that we can have as we serve the Lord. And we'll get right into that. But first, I just want to say how disappointed I am that my wife couldn't be with me and meet all of you. And for those of you who've come down to Baptist International Missions and the World Mission Center there and helped with Enrichment Week, you've met her, and she sends her greetings back up here. She's not well, but she's on the mend. And so we thank the Lord for that. And she said, boy, I wish I was with you all. And I said, no, you're right where you need to be. But she sends her greetings. And I also want to say thank you so much for all the food. The accommodations are so nice. We really enjoyed our time at Souder Village today. And there was just so much to see. And you all have really been spoiling us. When Pastor said it's a vacation, that's because you've made it so. And we can tell that you all love missionaries. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. I will say that my diet plan has gone out the window this week. And so, you know, and if this is the light meal, I agree with Brother Godfrey, we're in trouble before the week. We're only halfway through with this thing. I guess I'm a full gospel preacher tonight. I'm sorry, that doesn't reflect my doctrine, just my physical state. And someone once asked, you know, what is a preacher's belt? And the answer is, it's a fence around a chicken graveyard, and that's actually true. But thank you so much for taking good care of us and for feeding us, and we've just been having a great time, the kids as well. And I also have to say that was the biggest, I don't know what to call it. It was almost a dump truck of goodies and gifts and things that we found in our room. I've never seen anything like it. And so we've been enjoying getting through that. And that's to fill in all the cracks around the meals, if you know what I'm saying. But thank you for all of those that were involved in that. And we really, really appreciate it. John chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 11 verses, a familiar story to all of us. If you've read the Bible, grown up in Sunday school, you've heard about this story of how Jesus turns water into wine. And I think that in many ways, this is a mission story. And it certainly talks to us about the importance of service and what God will do in our lives if we'll give them to Him. But we'll go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, or knew not whence it was, pardon me, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to meet together with your dear people in this place, to stand behind this sacred desk, to open your word, Lord, and to examine a passage that teaches us about servanthood. And Father, I pray that as we look at this passage, as we study it together, that Father, our hearts would be blessed and encouraged about missions. But Father, more importantly, we would make a decision to commit our lives completely to You. Many of us recognize, and all of us should, but we recognize just how little we have to offer You, Lord. And it's not because of our great wealth or ability, our great talents and treasure. Lord, it's not about us that we gather in this place. It's about Your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has done, and the commission that He has placed on our lives. And Lord, that calling that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we so thank You that in giving us this monumental task, Father, You also equip us and You provide all things that we need. Lord, You've promised that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, and that You should supply all our needs according to Your riches in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that we would recognize that tonight and recognize that our part is simply to say yes to Your plan and let You use us in a way that is significant, Lord, but it's a servanthood. And I pray that You would help us to learn that from this passage. May everything that's done and said in the remainder of this service bring glory to Your name and, Lord, be for our good. And we'll give You praise and honor and glory for it. Bless this church, I pray. And I pray that You would equip them and help them during this conference. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The satisfaction of service. God gives us a place in His kingdom to serve Him, not because He needs us, but because He chooses us and He gives us the privilege of being a part of His great work. You know, you might call missions work and missions program of a local church unique, singular. You might call it strange even. You think about the method. The method is to send individuals out and support them. It's not a business, but it's done solely by faith. As God's people respond first in going and then others in giving and praying and supporting, the gospel message gets out. It's a unique thing. It's not, you're not going to find a business model at the university that's going to teach you to do these things. Now, how many of you know that God's economy and God's way of doing things is very different than our way of doing things? But when we do God's work in God's way, it's accomplished because God has promised that it will be. So it's unique how God uses the local church to get His word out and around the world. It's unique in its scope. No other business, no other organization seeks to touch every heart and every life in every place all over the world. And yet that's the commission we have. First at Jerusalem and then Samaria and Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. It's unique. It's unique in its method. It's unique in its scope. It's unique in its people. Have you thought about the fact that God uses all kinds of people? And some of us folks are a little strange. Some missionaries are a little different. And we get that way because we live in different cultures and different norms, and you get to where you just roll with things. And it's different. But God uses all kinds of people. He loves using you, and He loves using me in a special way. And that makes me feel very special. I don't know about you. That as God looks down from heaven tonight on the First Baptist Church in Bryan, Ohio, God is very pleased because He sees a group of people He can use. And we thank the Lord for that. It's unique in its method. It's unique in its scope. It's unique in its servants. And it's even surprising what God will do if we'll let Him work in our lives. I know I was surprised as a young man. I was in a banking career, and I was in a local independent church like this, Baptist church, and serving the Lord, and I thought I would just be there and serve the Lord and raise a family and do all that normal stuff all my life. And then I got a call from someone that said, "Will you pray about coming to Mongolia for a short-term missions trip?" By the way, if you've never been on a short-term missions trip, I'd encourage you to go and see the mission field. It'll change your life. And I think some people know that. That's why they don't go, because they're afraid. Because God might stir your heart. And so I went to, I gave him that Christian answer that we heard a minute ago. Yeah, I'll pray about it. And I did, and God wouldn't let me get away from it. I thought, no, God doesn't want me to go on this missions trip. I've been to other missions trips, but never overseas. And God led me to go ahead and accept and go on that trip, long story short. And I just thought I was being surrendered to God, and you know, the Lord just wanted to prove me. And so I took time off work, and I ended up going to Mongolia. We got off the plane in January. It was 30 below zero. And you have those instant icicles in your nose and on your eyebrows. And they were speaking a different language than I'd ever heard spoken before. And they ate different food than I've ever seen before. I remember one lady brought me a bowl of what I would call clabbered milk. Okay. Kids, if you've ever had a bowl of cereal in your room and you let it sit there for 3 days, and that it turns into a pudding, right? Well, that's what she, "Hey, here's this special. Oh, it's so good. Try this." And the other things that I never had, the horse milk and the different flavors, and some of them I still don't like. But they loved it. And so different food, different people, different place. People living in the middle of the city in a gear, but lights up at night because they got their TV on. It's electrified. It's just very interesting how people survive. And yet, once you get past all those layers of culture and all those layers of differences, you see that there are people who are hurting. There are people who need to know Jesus Christ. And as I went, the Lord broke my heart over the mission field. And I began to pray, "Lord, send missionaries to Mongolia. Lord, please, why won't anybody go to Mongolia? Lord, send some missionaries here." And, you know, it took me about 3 years and a couple more trips back to help. And I realized the Lord was saying, "Hey, dummy, it's you that I want to use." And that was a scary thought. Wait a second now. I was praying for someone else to go to the mission field. And often God lays that burden on our hearts, and we become our own prayer's answer, the answer to our own prayer. And so it's surprising at times who God will use and how God will use us. And that's a good thing. I hope that you are surprised every once in a while by what God is doing in your life, because the life of faith and service is a surprising one. It's singular. It's even strange, and it's surprising. And we see a story like that here in this passage. Jesus is preparing his disciples for their ministry. This is the beginning of his miracles, and no doubt it wasn't exactly what they had planned, but Jesus had a plan, and it started at this wedding. And Jesus is always interested in people. We sometimes think of Jesus and the disciples and their ministry, and I will say by extension, mission work and missionaries, we think of them in such a sterile way. And we think of them as they're always wearing a suit, like that pastor who called up, "Why weren't you in a suit?" Right. I heard one pastor say, "You know, I think sometimes if my people saw my suit lying next to the road, they would say, 'Oh, look, there's pastor.'" Because we think of our pastor in a suit, in a tie, because that's mostly how we see him. We think of the missionary that way. And we think of the missionary always standing with the Bible, always preaching. And yet there's a lot more to it. It's about getting into people's lives. Yes. And it's about understanding where they're coming from. And it's about showing that we care. And it's about service. Sometimes it's just hard work. Right. You know, when I was cleaning the toilet that first time in our little church building, I thought, you know, I didn't realize I signed up to do this as a missionary. But there's just a lot of hard work that goes into missions and any kind of service for the Lord. And that's, Jesus was among the people. Jesus cared about the people. And we see in this passage the first miracle of Jesus, and it was a time of training for the disciples. And what a wonderful start to be only the beginning. But the thing that we see most prominent in this passage is that there was a need that only God could supply. And yet God used very simple things and people to accomplish that work. And that's the gist of what I want to talk with you about tonight in just 3 points that I think we can draw from here that will help us and help you in your missions program for the coming year. God wants to use ordinary people like us and our provision, what we have in our hands. He wants to use that and multiply it to meet the needs of the world. First of all, I want you to see in this passage, there was an obvious complication. There was an obvious complication. There was a problem that the people had. They had no wine. Now, I need to just interject here. Jesus, we're not talking about the kind of wine you go and get at the store today. This was not alcoholic wine that Jesus made. The pure, righteous, gracious Son of God would not have created. We think in our perverse way, oh, that best wine it must have been the strong stuff. It must have been the good stuff. No, it was the fresh stuff. It was juice. It was the very best so-called wine was when they would squeeze the grapes and it was that fresh juice. That's what Jesus created. And so we're not talking about the kind of wine that people sell today, but it was customary to have that grape juice, to have that refreshment at a wedding. And it was part of the social interaction. It was part of the refreshment for the guests. It was part of the status for the young couple. So many things about this were so important. And Jesus saw that need, this complication in the wedding that had been planned. That these people, they were in need of sustenance. They had social needs. They needed to preserve their social standing. And Jesus' mother comes to him and says, Jesus, they have no wine. When that was understood, it meant so many different things. You're getting that. But at the end of the day, they really just needed spiritual help, didn't they? They needed to see who Jesus was. And Jesus is going to take this obvious complication and he's going to use it as he meets these people's needs to glorify himself. And by the way, that's what it's all about, is glorifying Jesus Christ. Jesus was always concerned about people's need. And if we would be like Jesus tonight, we need to be concerned with people's needs. Mark 6 and verse 34 says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Someone has once said that compassion is your hurt and my heart. And as we see the people of the world and the obvious difficulties that they're in, it ought to reach beyond our brain and it ought to get into our hearts so that we can do something about it. Jesus was moved with compassion. And even as his mother came and said, Jesus, they have no wine, Jesus even cared about that. Yep. Now, this wasn't purely a gospel thing, but through this, no doubt, God received glory and there was much good that came. We see the people and their need. We see the predicament. There was an insufficient supply. By the way, you do realize that this world has no answers. They have nothing. Outside these four walls, those who don't know Jesus Christ, they're feeling their way around in the dark. They have no hope. They have no future. And sometimes I kind of think that we forget how good we have it. Yeah. Here in this church, we forget how good we have it here in this country where we have access to the gospel, and we forget that there are people in other parts of the world that don't even know who Jesus is. I was soul winning in Phoenix, Arizona, where my brother-in-law pastors, and I knocked on the door of a young man about 18. And as he came to the door, I began to talk with him not only about coming to church, but about the gospel. And as I began to talk with him, I saw on his face not a rejection of my message, but really just a lack of recognition. He did not understand what I was talking about. And so I just stopped. It was so clear that I literally stopped in the middle of what I was saying. And I said, do you know who Jesus is? And he said, no, where does he live? And I said, well, Jesus came 2,000 years ago and he died. He was the Son of God made flesh. I began to talk with him. I said, you've never turned on the radio and heard about Jesus. You've never turned on the television and seen anything about Jesus. Have you ever been to church before? He said, never. And there's a young man, not an immigrant, someone who had been around for a while. And I began to be a little dubious. How could anyone in our country not know who Jesus is? But after talking with him, I realized that his family had, for generations, never been in church. And this young man had no clue about our Savior. That's right here in the United States. And you can go to big cities and places where people do not know who Jesus is. You can go to island nations where people do not know who God is. You can go to Mongolia and realize that there are people who don't know who Jesus is. The people have a need. And they have no answers because they do not know who Jesus is. They have an insufficient supply. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Jesus is our supply. And as we hook into the vine, he provides all that we need. But without knowing who Jesus is, there's a predicament. The people have no wine. And then we see the possibility. Who saw the possibilities at first? It was Jesus' mother. She knew who Jesus was, and she realized that if she could get this predicament, and she could get these people connected with this Jesus, her son, but really the Son of God, the insufficient supply could meet up with the suffering servant, and that there would be something good come out of it. There were great possibilities. And can I just say, that's what missions is all about. It's getting people who have no answers and no hope connected with the only one who can meet the needs of their life. And if we can do that, there is a great possibility. Jesus, the suffering servant, is our example of service. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I don't know the needs of your heart. I just know the needs of mine. And I know that Jesus cares about our social problems and our financial problems. And he cares about our physical problems. And he cares about all of the needs that we have. Most importantly, our spiritual problems. And that if we can just get connected with Jesus, Jesus will change our lives. And then we go out into a lost and dying world and we connect others. There was an obvious complication. Mary said, Jesus, they have no wine. And I don't understand how the Son of God can say to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not come. But Jesus saw the need and he was moved with compassion. And so as we see the obvious complication, I want you to see that there was an ordinary contribution. Now, we understand we can't do anything without Jesus, but that doesn't mean we don't have a role to play. We may not have enough to give to the Lord, either our lives or our talent, our treasure, our time. It's not enough to meet the need. No one there could create wine out of thin air or out of water. There was no supply available. There was nothing to be done, or so it was thought. But after Mary makes the problem, this obvious complication known to Jesus Christ, she tells the servants something that I think we do well to hear tonight. She tells them in verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This is the ordinary contribution that is necessary for missions. Just because we don't have enough doesn't mean we don't have anything. Just because your life is not enough for what God has called you to do doesn't mean that God doesn't still want to use you. And if we'll give God what we have, if we'll make our very ordinary contribution, he can do something wonderful.
Yes.
I want us for a moment just to look at the servants now. Jesus is that example of service. He is the suffering servant. He took on the form of a servant, it says in Philippians chapter 2. And he is that great example for us. But there were other servants standing around. Servants who would like to help but didn't know how, and they begin to serve with Jesus. We're those servants tonight. Amen. And as we look at those servants and their ordinary contribution, we can see that God can use us in the same way that he used them. Verse 6 says that there were set there six pots of stone, six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Now, we think of pots as these little things that we put flowers in, but these were not little pots. From the measurement, we know these were big pots. And there were special pots. So they were kept in that place all the time for the use of the household. They were for the purifying of the Jews, so they were for washing things. These were pots that were normally filled with water to purify things, and they were big water pots. And so we see some things about these pots, and I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:7, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, God doesn't want it to be about us.
Right.
And that's why He uses our ordinary contribution. He uses these ordinary stone or clay pots, these earthen vessels, to contain the greatest treasure
yes.
that a man could ever have. That is the gospel and all its power and all its glory. We have that in our lives. And God wants to use us to bring forth something wonderful to the world. We see some things about these pots, and really they're very typical of the servants. First of all, we see their presence. The Bible says that they were set there. You know, God uses people who are available.
Yeah.
I think sometimes God uses people that aren't the brightest or the best, but they're available. And God will use our ordinary contribution. You may be sitting there like I was some years ago and saying, God would never use me as a missionary. I don't even like to talk in front of people. I'm just this ordinary guy, and I would never do anything like that. And we sometimes set missionaries up on this pedestal when really they're just pots of clay.
Yep.
And they're just ordinary people, but many of them will tell you they were just available. It starts with surrender.
Amen.
Those pots were there, and the servants were there. They were available to the master and for his use. It may seem like an ordinary contribution to you, but it's a lovely thing, a lovely savor in the nostrils of the Lord. When someone makes themselves available to Him for His use, the heart of God is rejoiced. Here am I, send me. That's the heart of the Christian who is available. We see that they were present. They were set there. We see their purity. God is looking for ordinary servants that will separate themselves from this world. You know, the importance of being pure so that God can use us. And that doesn't mean perfect, but that means that we're willing to assign ourselves and our lives completely to the purposes and the will of God. Paul understood that. He said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul's every breath, his every meal, his every action and everything that he did was for the glory of God. And that rule meant more to him than do's and don'ts and right and wrong. Paul talks about that to the Corinthian church and how we need to set aside even things that are okay or good in order not to be a stumbling stone to others. The missionary has to learn that. You go into a new culture and you have to adapt, and that means doing things in a different way than what you're used to. My wife likes to tell the story, and I think she mentioned it to a couple of you that are here. She was working in the nursery there. We were with another missionary, and as we were learning the language, and she was in the nursery there. And in Mongolia, some of the poorer folks, they take the wet diapers off and they put them on the radiator to dry them out and reuse them. You can imagine how that can smell at times. And they do other strange things. And so she went into the nursery, and here's a baby, and they bundle their baby. So all you can see is the baby's face. And the baby's laying on a table. And the mom is somewhere else, and the baby's laying there bundled. And my wife sees what she thinks is the baby's tongue sticking out of its mouth like this, and it's kind of jiggly, and it's gray, and the baby just kind of like this, and she just thinks it's having a seizure. It's dying. The baby is choking on its own tongue. So she goes over there, and she took some nursing, and she, you know, you got to clear the airway. She gets her fingers in that baby's mouth, and she thought the tongue had come off the baby. But come to find out, it was not the baby's tongue. It was actually a sheep's tail. And the baby was sucking on that sheep's tail. About that time, the baby starts to cry. And the mother comes in, and here's Mary holding the baby's Mongolian pacifier. It's a sheep's tail. And the mother looks at Mary, jerks the sheep tail out of her hand, and plugs it back in the baby's mouth, and it starts sucking on the sheep's tail. And Mary just, I think she went into tears, because it was so different and so unusual how they did things in that place. And I could tell you many more stories, and so could the other missionaries. But you learn to adapt, and you set yourself aside And you purify yourself from your own desires, and you purify yourself certainly from the world and from sin so that God can use you. Listen, young people, are you willing to live not an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life? Then set yourself aside to serve God. So many people, it's about what they want and what they like and how they want to have it. And we have the Burger King generation, don't we?
Right.
Have it your way. Listen, God uses people who are available, and God uses people who say, God, it's not my way. It's going to be your way. Lord, have it your way. Have thine own way, Lord, in my life. The presence of these pots and the servants, the purity of the pots. They were for the purifying of the Jews. And purpose, their purpose was storage. We start getting all up and uppity and glorified in ourselves. Oh, God's going to use me as a missionary. And then you realize I'm just a vehicle for the message that can change the world.
Amen.
It's not about us. The ordinary contribution of these servants, but as they did what they could. And Jesus told them in verse 7, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Notice their complete obedience. They didn't just fill them up a little bit. They filled them up to the brim. They wanted to do everything they could in their ordinary contribution to help in this obvious complication. And then God did what only He can do. And He made an outstanding creation. That's my third point. God looked to this obvious complication, the needs of the people, their insufficiency. He looked at the ordinary contribution, simple servants, water pots full of water. But then He blessed it, and it became an outstanding creation. Jesus said, draw out now and bear this water to the governor of the feast. Now, can you imagine the servants? Their fear and trepidation. They know what's in the pots. They just put it in there.
Right.
They know that it's just water. But Jesus, my ordinary contribution plus Jesus is something special.
Yes.
It's something sufficient. It's something greater. And I don't know, folks, maybe you can talk to your pastor about this great theological debate of when the water became wine. I don't know. Did it become wine in the pot? I don't know. Did it become wine in the dipper on the way to the... Did it become wine as the governor of the feast began to drink it? I have no clue how it happened. I just know that God took their ordinary contribution, what little they had to give to Him, and He made it this outstanding creation. This provision, it was superior. The governor of the feast stopped everything, and he sent to the bridegroom, and he said, why have you saved the best for last? Listen, when you get God involved in your life, God makes it the best.
Amen.
I'll tell you, being a missionary in Mongolia was so much greater than being a banker in Missouri. God takes simple, ordinary people like me, and He uses them in an extraordinary way. And He'll do the same for you, no matter where He calls you, whether here in Ohio or around the world. It was a superior creation. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm praying that God will use this church's missions program in a way that it's greater than it's ever been before. God's used you in such a mighty way, and I know you support so many missionaries, but God can do even more through First Baptist Church here in Bryan. And God wants you to call on Him. He wants me to call on Him and ask Him to do what only He can do. And He's promised to show us great and mighty things. Philippians 4:19, we saw it. God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't want to give the world what I have. I want God to give through me what He has. Because Jesus Christ and His riches and glory are so much more than anything that I can offer them. But as God does something supernatural in me, God begins to do the supernatural through me to reach a lost and dying world. It is an outstanding creation. Psalm 107, verse 35, He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. I love that message last night. Now God will just pour out His blessing on the thirsty soul. And it's a well that springs up unto everlasting life. And then it springs over into other people's lives. What God does in my life, He then does in such a great way in other people's life. This superior creation, the preparation of the people. I want you to see the disciples now. They're watching Jesus. They've signed up to be His disciples. And I think at this moment they were thinking, wow, this is going to be amazing. This is going to be wonderful. Anyone who can turn water into wine, He's got all the provision. He's got all the power. He's got everything that we need. And their understanding of who God was and is expanded. Did you know that God wants to deepen His message in our lives? He wants to build our faith so that He can broaden our ministry. That's what missions is all about. I often hear pastors and church members talk about how missions and giving to missions and being involved in going for missions stretch their faith, and how the greatest blessing was received by the one who was trying to be a blessing. I can say that's true in my life. That God has done way more in my life than He's done through my life. But as He deepens that message in us, as He expands our view of who He is, as He builds our faith, God is able then to broaden our ministry to the world. The disciples' faith was increased. Look at verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Their faith was increased as they saw God take the ordinary contribution of those servants and create an outstanding creation. And finally, we just mentioned it and just read it, God's glory was manifested. The praise, we see that the servants were prepared. We see that the need was provided for, but we see the praise abounded to God's glory. By the way, that's what missions is all about. It's about making God's name known to the nations, about glorifying Him. And as we glorify Him, it's for our good. And we are blessed. As we conclude this evening, I want to ask you a question. First of all, maybe you have some obvious complications in your life that you can't figure out. You can't meet that need. I don't know all of you, and I don't know who might in this place have some needs that God should supply. But I just want to say that Jesus is the answer. Amen. Whatever those needs are, And even during a missions conference, Jesus is able to touch our hearts. He's able to meet our needs. He's able to save our souls. So if there's anyone in this place that finds themselves in that position, having an insufficiency, you need God, you don't have God in your life, I would invite you to come in just a moment and talk with Pastor. Come down, kneel at this altar, and you find in Christ everything that you need in your life. He is sufficient. But for most of us who have already drank of that water, we've already got that wellspring welling up in our hearts. We need to think about how we're going to get that to the rest of the world. And we're going to get it there by making the ordinary contribution that we have in our hand. I don't know what God's been dealing with you about last night and now tonight, but I do know that He's dealing with you. If you're a Christian, you've got something that you can give. Maybe it's the gift of prayer. We talk about giving and going perhaps more than we do about prayer, but when you take a prayer card from the missionary and you put it on your fridge and you think of them and you pray for them, that's not just a simple exercise. That's connecting God's supply with the need. That's a wonderful contribution. You may call it ordinary, but God wants to use you in the prayer closet to be a blessing to the missionaries. You may say, well, God's laid it on my heart to give a little bit more, but it's not much. What about the little boy and the five loaves and two fishes? It didn't seem much to him, but God took it and blessed it and multiplied it. And He took that ordinary contribution and He made an extraordinary, an outstanding creation. That's what God wants to do with your life. Young person, maybe you're saying, I don't know, maybe missions is something God would want to use me to do. That doesn't come from the devil. Let me just tell you that. That doesn't come from the world, and it certainly doesn't come from your flesh. But if God's speaking to your heart about that, that's not crazy. And I would just encourage you to do one simple thing. just make yourself available to the Lord and say, God, if you'd want to use me in that way, I don't have all the answers. I don't know if I could even do something like that. But if you're calling me to missions, I just want you to know I'm available. Whatever it is that God's dealing with your heart and mine about this evening, I hope that we'll just simply say yes to the Lord. Let's bow for prayer, and then Pastor's going to come and close the service as he sees fit. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful story. Lord, it's a story of how you met a need using very simple and ordinary contribution from the people that were there. Father, we're just ordinary and common people. Father, what we have, we give to you. Lord, I pray that you meet the needs in this place. I pray that you would use us to be a blessing. I pray that you would deepen your message in our lives and build our faith so that you might broaden our ministry to the world. And Father, as we let you do the supernatural in us, Father, that you'd do the supernatural through us. Bless the missionaries that are here today. Lord, bless this pastor and bless each and every one who's involved, Lord, because this is a team effort. This is something that we're all involved in as we get the gospel into the world. Lord, the world needs Jesus, your son. Father, we have Jesus in our lives. Help us do our part, and may you get all the glory. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.